Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. With me, your host, Joshua Smith. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Thursday. We hear the intro music.
The welcome music is playing.
We are dropping frames like a mofo, though. Not sure what's going on, but it does say our stream is experiencing issues, which we haven't had in a long time. So if you guys can see this, let me know what you're seeing.
Yeah, but they could predict we were going to talk about Israel.
Yeah, they knew we were going to bring up Israel tonight. And so they started dropping our frames right away. Right away, apparently. Anyways, let's see. Guys, let me know if it's playing all right. I don't know. But we're here Thursday night. I don't feel good. I'm under the weather today. And so I'm going to try to give the best show that I can give while not feeling good. I got sick on my way back from the trip to Dallas this week, where I got to go and campaign at the Texas State Fair. That was pretty cool. We did really well there, man. I was surprised to see so many people in Texas that were like, yeah, man. And several Trump supporters were like, yeah, if Trump's not on the ballot, we'll vote for you.
Oh, shit.
Which has kind of been the appeal with the people that I've talked to is like, oh, if Trump's not on the ballot, I'm voting for you. Well, that's cool, man. You know what I mean? Like, I'm stoked about that. I appreciate that. But there was a lot of people, too, that were just like, done. They were just done. They were like, we're not doing the two-party, uniparty thing anymore. We're done. So if you offer something better. And a lot of people in Texas at the state fair were like, you going to legalize weed? Because, you know, Texas is still like super.
Yeah.
Oh, they're saying they can't hear anything.
That's the one guy, but Quest is saying it seems fine.
Oh, maybe turn your volume up, buddy.
Yeah. Opie, it sounds like a skill issue.
Yeah, it might be a skill issue, Opie. I might want to turn up your phone or something, buddy. But yeah, weed was a big topic at the Texas State Fair.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, hey, are you for legalizing weed? I'm like, yeah, dude, I would deschedule it immediately. Like, it would be one executive order and we're done with this. There's no reason whatsoever that weed should have ever been classified as a narcotic like that. You know what I mean?
I thought when Austin turned blue like that, it would kind of arm wrestle Texas into changing their tune, but not so much.
Well, if anybody's going to do it, it'd be Austin for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody else is saying they hear me, so.
Yeah.
It's a skill issue, Opie. Guys, go check out toplops.com, the man, the myth, the legend. My good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, if I can get this this logo up. My good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great backpacks, shirts, hoodies. I think he's got leggings, all kinds of great stuff. Of course, all the Break the Cycle stuff. Yeah, our good friend Ryan tonight is wearing the Wood Chipper Go Burr shirt, bright pink. You can get all kinds of cool colors there. And he's a great dude. You can get all of his gear up to 30% off by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount, or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link. And you can get into a private Discord server where you can get Top's new gear up to 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at like a 30% discount. So 10% discount for using BTC at checkout, 30% discount if you become a supporting member of the show and the Discord server as well. Of course, I don't know what's going on with my video. I'm glad that we're all right. It does seem that we've dropped less frames now. Now it's saying we dropped 57. It was 26. Now it's 50. So it's getting worse. I don't know what's doing that. That's weird. We're not restreaming to anywhere. So I don't know.
Maybe it's Hamas.
Yeah. If you guys have any problems, let me know. Thanks for the $2 super chat.
Someone bombed the parking lot of the internet company. We just don't know who.
Someone bombed the MediaCom parking lot, and there will be a picture tomorrow of MediaCom completely destroyed.
Let's check in with our co-host, Mr. Ryan Kurtz. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Guys, like, comment, subscribe, share the podcast on your socials with your friends, with your family. Spread the word. We want to grow this thing. This is a great avenue to grow the presidential campaign, and we just love hanging out with you. Also, give me some yep cocks in the chat.
Yep cocks in the chat for our good friend Ryan.
He's
no longer asking for yep cocks. He's now demanding. Of course, our other great friend, AJ, sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic.
Should we not let you do shots or coke tonight?
No, don't let me do shots or coke.
Okay.
Also, I'm sober and relaxed tonight.
Are you sober?
The
you're drinking water.
Of where I usually am.
Did you get water out of the bathroom sink in my
bathroom? I did.
Nice, dude. Good. Did you use the filtered one?
I'm a tap water type of nigga.
There's a filtered one in there. Did you see that? The connector?
Yeah, no, nah, I don't trust that
stuff. You don't trust the filtered water over the straight out of the place we wash our hands after we
No. I want the fluoride. I want the minerals.
Fair.
I want.
You want the atrazine?
I want the water that turns the frogs gay.
Yes, that just
put it in.
There is atrazine in the Des Moines water supply.
Oh,
I looked this up the other day.
So we're all getting
That's how we're stronger and taller, right?
Nice. Yeah, that's how we do it. Guys, for you just joining in, I am sick tonight, so I'm trying to do my best, but I am just not feeling it. I am feeling really bad. I'm hoping I'm better by tomorrow because I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to fly to Florida, but I definitely have a terrible head cold right now. No coughing or anything, but it's definitely in the back of my throat.
The Florida climate will help.
Yeah, the Florida climate and the flight.
Yeah,
the flight's going to help me for sure. There's nothing like flying when you're
sick. First, we're going to blast in the face with the dry, cold, unfiltered air, and then you're going to get off in Florida, and it's going to be 70% humidity.
It's the worst.
90.
The very, very, very worst, dude. Guys, we do got a great show for you tonight. Got a great guest for you tonight. Lots going on in the world. Of course, our friend has stopped by who is running for chairman of the Libertarian Party of Texas. Now, if you guys aren't familiar, this is the second biggest Libertarian Party in the whole country. It's basically like running your own country affiliate is how I look at California and Texas and Florida to some extent as
Texas
well.
Texas is a different country.
Yeah, it is. It's so big. I drove through Texas the long ways once from Florida to San Diego, and it was like 2 days later, and I was like, are we still in Texas? This is insane to me. But our good friend Nathan Polsky has stopped by, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and I am definitely not sober tonight. I'm on multiple meds and single malt scotch, so it's going to be a good night, hopefully.
The man shows his chest hair and drinks single malt scotch.
That's awesome.
This is a classy Texan, very classy Texan. No way you're from, like, the deep part of West Texas, right?
No, I'm up in the Dallas area.
Okay, fair. Fair. That makes more sense. He's like old school Dallas though, like the TV show Dallas.
Yeah.
Right. You know what
I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So man, you're running for chair of the Libertarian Party of Texas. That is a gigantic task. I can tell you, from being on the national committee, it's insane. It's a wild task. You're gonna have to deal with all these cats, all this stuff. Why chair of the Libertarian Party of Texas?
Why chair? I got asked. And then I asked if somebody else was going to do it, and they all said no.
I know that feeling.
So I was like, all right, I guess I'll do it. All right, you know, here's the vision I've got. Here's the plan I've got. And everyone got behind me and said, all right, let's do it. So once
at my county affiliate in California for Contra Costa County, which is a big county, by the way. It's like the East Bay, Oakland, and everything. I went to the bathroom during a vote for secretary, and I came back, and I was the secretary. Yeah. Or no, not secretary, the treasurer.
Treasurer.
My first ever state convention in Washington State, my girlfriend at the time and I drove up to Seattle area about 3 hours to just check it out. We just wanted to see what was going on. I was already a registered party member and all that stuff. And I was the only person that showed up for my region. So they're like, you're the Region 5 rep. I was like, I have no idea what that means, but sure, let's do it. That's what got me involved in like party politics, like actually working for the party, was that I showed up to this party state convention and they were like, you're the new Region 5 representative. Can you do it? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'll give it a try, man. And then I went and started building county affiliates. Now, that's something that's really important for Texas is building county affiliates, right?
That's right. You know, like I said, Texas has 254 counties, more than twice any other state. So I think we're at 40%, maybe 60% affiliated within the state, which is pretty good, but that's a lot of Texas that's still currently unaffiliated.
What's your plan to get some of those counties affiliated, my man?
Give them a reason to affiliate for starters. Yes. So most of the counties that are affiliated are in the bigger cities. We have the larger populations. So a lot of our rural counties have less than 1,000 people in the entire county. So trying to get out there. And as you said, you know, Texas is freaking big. We just drove 9 hours from where I live to our last quarterly convention. That was all the way over in El Paso. So that was a little slog. But yeah, you know, driving through some of those areas, trying to get some of those areas affiliated. It's going to be rough, but just going to where these folks are and say, you're disenfranchised with the Republican Party, you're in a conservative area, here's why you should vote Libertarian, here's why you should affiliate. One person, two people, that's all it really takes.
Yeah, and I can tell you for sure that just my one day at the Texas State Fair, people are in Texas are fed up. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it was like almost everyone I talked to. And it was kind of cool because, like, a lot of the people I talked to at the Texas State Fair were from the Black community. Like a lot. Like probably 70% of the people that I talked to.
I mean, Texas State Fair is in Dallas, which is that's predominant demographics there. Also very liberal too. So yeah, it's expected.
Yeah, I was just I was surprised. I like shared an Uber with like a family, and this lady was like, "You're running for president? No way! Can I get pictures? Here, give me some of your flyers. I'm gonna hand these out to all my friends." And I'm like, "Hell yeah, man! That's what I'm talking about." You know what I mean? And it's funny because those are the most disaffected communities during this. These are the people that have been used for as fodder, political fodder for generations, right? I mean, yeah. Malcolm X was warning people about this, right? Especially with the Democrats. That this is all your political fodder. They're just using you to pad their votes. And now we see it with immigrants and stuff too, right? But it was kind of cool to hear so many people that were just like fed up, even in not just that community, but mm-hmm. at the Texas State Fair,
yeah.
like done with the Uniparty. And then there was a bunch of like rednecks and hillbillies that were like, oh, if Trump's not on the ballot, well, we're definitely voting for you, because they're looking for the anti-establishment vote.
They're looking for the vengeance vote.
Yeah, they want the vengeance vote. Yeah. They're pissed off. People are pissed off.
But here's the problem, though, is they look for that vengeance vote, but then they say, okay, well, you got Hillary or Trump. If I don't vote for one of them, the other one's going to win. So I have to vote, because it's always the most important vote. So
yeah, I hear that every year.
That's why my focus is local levels. Sure. Local levels.
And that's so important. I want to make that clear. And I've talked a lot about it in my campaign too. And you know, I've helped. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to not be able to name 100 candidates that I've helped in some way or another over the last 6 years. I mean, whether it just be social media help or, you know, making phone calls or giving strategy plans or working on policy teams, like I've helped a ton of local and state candidates. And that is definitely the biggest focus for any, especially a state chair. I mean, mm-hmm. state chairs got to focus on that stuff. Now, we have to run a lot of people don't understand, like, the party has to run a presidential candidate, right? Like, they have to have one, or we lose ballot access in, like, 38 states, dude. It's just...
Well,
like,
the state has to run a gubernatorial candidate or a statewide candidate. They don't have to necessarily run a presidential candidate.
There's a lot of states that are not like that. A lot of states, it takes a presidential candidate, and they have to get, like 1% or whatever.
Yeah, Texas, I believe, is... I think it's 5%. Don't quote me on that, but that is for a statewide candidate. It has to be at least 5%. And that currently secures Libertarian Party of Texas 10 years, I want to say, for ballot access. So as long as we're doing it every couple of years and we're hitting the 5% mark, then we're going to just stay on the ballots. Now, the Texas legislature, they are trying to change the laws every couple of years to turn us into a primary party, to kick us off the ballot. So it's an ongoing battle that not only are we having to run candidates, we also have to maintain the please don't cost us X amount of dollars to be a primary.
Yeah, it's so funny. People don't realize how much the Reds and Blue Gang like spend every year to keep us off the ballot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money. And it's, you know, like PACs, like a lot of different PACs. And we're fighting all these PACs, really. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Right. And so like people give their money to these PACs that are like for normal, like things that you don't think are going to, the money's going to go to keep ballots cleansed of third parties. And that's what it goes to. And it's been happening for, you know, since the 70s when they became a party.
I disapprove, obviously, but it's an effective strategy for them.
Yes,
it is.
It is.
If all you had to do is spend a small portion of your war chest to keep an opponent out of a, make a three-way race and do a two-way race, they're going to spend that money every time.
Oh, there's no doubt.
We have multiple ongoing lawsuits against our party.
Yeah.
Because we're not adhering to their state policies, because they're not correct.
Archaic and unconstitutional. And
well, for an example, in the state of Texas, the general fund from the state coffers when a candidate goes and files to run for office, either Republican, Democrat, or Libertarian, they file with the state, and then they also pay a filing fee. For the primary parties in Texas, the state reimburses that filing fee back to the primary parties to pay for the primary itself. Libertarian parties money goes into the general coffers for the state. So we're paying to get on the ballot, and we're paying for our own conventions. So the state legislature, as well as GOP representatives and Democrat representatives, are constantly lying to Congress to say, oh, this is why the Libertarian Party must pay to get on the ballot.
We got extremely lucky in the last election here. Rick Stewart got our gubernatorial candidate got the requisite amount of votes to get us major party status in Iowa, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. Thank the good Lord. But I don't know how long that lasts. I think it only lasts.
We have to maintain it.
Yeah, I think it only lasts.
Correct.
Yeah. Right. So
yeah.
I don't know who might run for us, because I know Rick isn't going to run again.
I think personally that we should put together an AJ Fisher campaign.
Jesus God, no.
Yes. Absolutely, dude. You know how fire that would be?
I can't be a second figure.
Yeah, AJ would be perfect. We need somebody that's as ridiculous as Rick Stewart.
That's true.
Nobody else in the state that's as ridiculous as
Rick Stewart. Handle that.
What do you mean by ridiculous?
You know, over the top.
From ridiculous to
redonkulous. Yeah.
Now, this would be a terrible candidate, but Jenny Cadle is ridiculous.
No, not that kind of ridiculous. Wrong kind of ridiculous. Not the kind of ridiculous that's going to go around calling people Nazis, dude. No, I didn't mean that kind of ridiculous, buddy.
We're going to indict the motherfucker.
Yeah. Ridiculous, like AJ's going to show up with a six-pack and put his boots up. You know what I mean? Kind of ridiculous. That's the kind of ridiculous that Iowa likes.
Yeah.
True.
Just a dude you could sit on your front porch and drink a beer with.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the best kind of people to run. I want to see more blue-collar working-class people run for office. That's my whole goal. That's like one of my biggest goals with this campaign is to, like, show people that, like, blue collar people can do this, you know,
absolutely,
because we connect better with other people than, like, academics or lawyers or doctors or the people that always choose to run, right? These rich people that have all this time on their hands and they're like, oh, I'm narcissistic enough to think that I can rule over people, right? And then they go and rule over you and they just continue to stuff their pockets and ruin your life. I want to see blue collar people that are, like, you know, getting dragged through the mud by the state and been through the family law system and, like, you know, failed out of college or whatever, right? Like, these people that have all dealt with this
stuff. Well, we have to work for what we get. So we're drenched in meritocracy.
Right.
And I think that's probably what I'd run on. I would run on meritocracy and just start everybody in office has to take a test.
We're putting together a really good campaign plan for you right now, dude. I like this.
Who designs the test, though? Who designs the test?
Oh, they're not. Listen, it'd be a common sense test.
Appointed officials.
Yeah, it would be like find all the wolves in this picture. Yeah, this thing.
And it's just a picture with no wolves.
Yeah,
it's just a robot test.
However long they
click
look
all
at
the
it,
pictures with sidewalks in them.
However long they look at it without bringing it up. They like disqualified for a certain amount of time.
Just have ChatGPT make the test.
Nathan, so what's your plan for Texas, buddy? Lay it out for us. What's the vision?
The vision is local candidates, local races, local offices. As I said earlier, you know, Texas is 254 counties. We have new counties that come on board. We have existing counties that they don't know how to run a county. They don't know how to market. They don't know how to get out there. They don't know how to get involved. They don't have the technical skills. And I've spoken to a number of county chairs, former chairs, previous chairs. They're like, yeah, I basically got affiliated. And the state party was like, congratulations. Here's a pat on the back. Here's a handbook. And so my number one goal is to create an infrastructure, to create a road plan for counties, for local candidates to assist. Post websites, build websites, get campaign manager training, get stuff in place to help candidates. Libertarians have the best chance to win at the local level. I think you know that. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah,
Libertarians have the best at the local level because there's no R, there's no D, there's no G or L next to your name. So you're running on a policy. Now, I've run for city council multiple years, and the number one question I always got standing at the polls was, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? And then it's, no, I'm a Libertarian, and here's why. Here's why I'm better than your Republican option. Here's why I'm better than your Democrat option. When you walk into the polling booth, you're not going to see party affiliation. So helping out there, you know, what some of our bigger counties, yeah, they've got the tools, they've got the experience, great, you know, we'll assist them where we can. But Texas, you know, you've got counties with 2-3 people within the county, and one of them decides I want to run for mayor, and they have absolutely no idea what to do. first time I ran for city council, I had no idea what I was doing. Threw my name in the hat, no support from anyone from the state party, from anyone from the county party, until I started having to ask a bunch of questions and I was finally able to find someone to help me out. Shouldn't have to be that way. Yeah. It should be a, here's your options. Do you want these or do you want to do it on your own?
Welcome to the party, buddy.
And you know, that's something. So libertarians, you know, libertarians want to be left alone. That's our goal. At the end of the day, just let us do our own thing. We don't want to harm anybody. We don't want to take their stuff. Just leave me alone. But that creates a society of people mostly that don't want to get up and don't want to go and travel, and they don't want to go and do things because they just want to be left alone. So reaching out and creating that infrastructure. Looks like Texas is a big state, second largest population for libertarians within the country. We have the people. It's just a matter of creating that environment for local candidates to succeed. Now, we still have to run candidates at the state level. If we want to maintain ballot access, yes, I get that. We're not winning those races anytime soon. We can use those races to send messages, to redirect people to the local, to say, hey, you know, I'm running for railroad commission, I'm running for governor, I'm running for vice governor, whatever. But if you really care about politics, if you really care about taxes, if you really care about nullifying the federal government and the state government, go pay attention to your local politics. That matters the most for your everyday day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
So that's my number one task.
And I agree with that. And you know, I've been around the party for a while now. I think like a decade, going on a decade. But I will say this, man. Florida did something similar. They put together a program called the Operation First Step, where they just essentially took every member they had and said, run for something local. Water and Soil Commission, school board, all this stuff. And they, for a while, had the most elected libertarians in the whole country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're the third biggest state, right? They're the third biggest Libertarian Party state. Pennsylvania did something very similar after that. They called it the Moulton Maneuver. And Chuck Moulton wrote this plan out, and they kind of modeled it after Operation First Step. And then all of a sudden, they were the most elected libertarians in the country, Pennsylvania. So I would suggest, especially as somebody who's, you know, coming into this and haven't led a whole state party, you should talk to somebody like Stephen Nicola, who was a big part of that plan in Florida. He's the chair of Florida. He's also an at-large rep on the Libertarian National Committee currently. But they're the ones that put together that plan, and they had city council members and all kinds of stuff elected all over Florida. And it shows, if you look at the policies of Florida, especially local ordinances and stuff, like, you can really feel what the libertarians have done in Florida. And every time somebody points at, well, where has the libertarians ever been elected? Well, first of all, dumb, we get like 200 and something people elected every year. You know, you just don't pay attention to the local races. Second of all, look at Florida. We've been elected all over Florida. And they've been able to roll back, you know, these water and soil taxes, and they've been able to push to get the constitutional carry now, which they have since July this year, and all these things at the local level that they pushed upwards, and it became one of the most free states, right? Like, everybody says Florida is one of the most free states, and that's, well, why do you think that is? It's not just Ron DeSantis by himself on an island, you know what I mean? Like, all these local positions got taken and made a huge difference. You know, and even people like Martha Bueno was elected libertarian, you know, and we're not friends. We don't talk very nicely to each other, but she got elected and did some good things, and, you know, and grew a really big platform by herself by becoming a candidate on OnlyFans or whatever, but it worked, you know.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
And I was going to say, you know, one of the things locally here in Texas that I just dealt with this past year was Airbnb regulations. So you've got a lot of Republicans in the cities of Texas are like, oh, you know, we're pro property rights. We love property rights. And then they come in and say, well, now we're going to create all these ordinances that are restricting or banning Airbnbs or short-term rentals altogether. It's a gross violation of property rights. As long as those Airbnbs, as long as the short-term rentals are not causing an issue with neighbors, you've already got ordinances in place. But this is where it falls apart. You've got, you know, these GOP elected officials. You've got these Democrat officials that they don't want stuff in their backyard. Your whole NIMBY mentality. And it's waking people up to that, to say, look, you can have your cake and you can eat it too. You just have to vote for somebody that's different.
Yeah, I get it. Sorry, I was looking at, we're still dropping frames and I'm trying to figure out what it is. But nobody's saying anything in the chat. So
yeah, it's looked fine.
The whole time?
Pretty early on, you could tell there were frames dropping because things weren't super smooth.
Oh, sure.
But it's looked fine.
Okay, well, I've got to go with what we got here. Man.
Our handsome faces are still...
One of these days...
showing up.
One of these days, I was going to realize how good fiber optic is, and we'll have it here in West Des Moines, but...
Well, we've talked about that. It's on my side of town.
Not here, though.
It's on the east side, guys. It's not on the west side.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
They've been saying for about a year they're bringing it to the south side, but it's not here yet.
It's not on the west side, that's for sure. These people do not care about it. When I lived in Urbandale, it's fine, huh?
Metronet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have it here yet. And in fact, I don't think Metronet can build here because Mediacom got the fiber contract for West Des Moines. And they're just taking their sweet ass time.
Mediacom must be destroyed.
Yes, dude. Yeah. They're the worst. One of the worst private businesses in Iowa.
Yeah. It's
like
Monopoly.
The Metronet like offices or whatever, I think are within 5 minutes of my house and they still don't have the cable.
Terrible.
To my house.
Terrible. Guys, lots going on around the world, foreign policy wise. I talked a little bit about all this stuff recently on different shows, various shows. You know, the Taiwan tripwire. Of course we're pushing Russia into the arms of China, and now we're pushing Hamas and Hezbollah and all these people that will definitely team up with Russia and China, no problem, to fight us. Mm-hmm. And it's looking more and more and more like our country is going to continue to push for a world war. And I retweeted some tweets that I made in 2020 about Iran and how some point over the next 4 years, they're going to push as hard as they possibly can to get their war with Iran because they've always wanted a war with Iran. Nothing will get us in a war faster with Iran than American boots on the ground in Gaza. Zero things, which is hilarious to me because we're sending money to Gaza, and we're sending money to Hamas, we're sending money to Israel. We've sent a ton of money to Iran. I said it on Twitter today. I said, look, our whole foreign policy is funding every side of a war. When a side loses, we topple them, install a whole new side, and then go to war with the other side. And then and that side backs us up until they're done, then we topple them, then we put it. It's what we do in the Middle East. It's what we've been doing for since I was a little kid. I mean, 1980s, right? Like, you know, ever since Russia and Iran.
You know how we fixed that?
Yes. Let's go.
See.
I like that. Yeah. I think there's more to that as well. And I think
Step two is secede. Step one is defend the guard.
Yeah, defend the guard is our most important bill of our generation right now, in my opinion. And I think that you know, of course, I love the 10th Amendment Center. Michael Bolton's a really good friend of mine. I love the guy to death. Scott Horton, of course, is like one of my best friends in the movement. I love him to death. Defend the Guard is actually a way to keep... You're just going to cock a gun on my stream, bro?
It doesn't work.
I'm just saying, buddy. I know that noise.
Hey, YouTube, it's a paintball gun.
I know what that noise is.
9 millimeters.
Was that a matter? Yeah, he's like, that was a 9 millimeter Glock.
Snap cap.
AG's going. Oh, nice. It's only a snap cap.
Very good.
I have cocked many guns on this show, and people have not figured that out. So
unlike many of our brothers on the Polymer 80 Reddit.
Yeah, no shit.
You're using snap caps.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Defend the Guard is absolutely one of the most important pieces of legislation. Essentially, if World War III pops off, it tells the governors they're not allowed to send the National Guard unless the federal government, the House and Senate, federally declare a war, right? Their constitutional duty. This is your constitutional duty to declare war. The Constitution requires this, but we've had this AUMF that's open-ended that just basically gives the president the power to distribute military troops wherever they want, use as much money as they want from the defense budget, and just attack and drone and kill indiscriminately. So, yes, seceding is very important. I think that I'm a big national divorce supporter because the federal government hates me and wants me dead. There's no doubt about it. They hate you. They want you dead. That's what they believe. I promise you that that's the truth. They either want you dead or they want you sick and invalid so that you depend on them. Those are the only two options from the federal government because that's how they make their money. The government can't give you anything because it produces nothing, right? So without your labor to extract from, they have nothing.
I would argue that it produces despair.
Yeah, it does produce despair for sure. Yes, I agree with that. But so like, this is a really good way outside of the national divorce conversation, because that's still a long ways away. If we were to ever get this national divorce, this peaceful national dissolution of the federalist system, right? Mm-hmm. The only way that's going to happen is if we start nullifying those laws through the 10th Amendment, mm-hmm. which is our right as states and our right as counties and even localities and municipalities, right? You have this right through the 10th Amendment. It was built into the foundation of our very fabric of this country.
You would think so, but our current leadership in Texas within the party does not think that the state party needs to worry about local candidates.
I have a lot to say about Whitney Bilyeu in general.
I'm not going to throw names around. I'll let you throw the names.
I have
around.
A lot to say about Whitney Bilyeu. So don't get me started on that. I used to be really friendly with Whitney and her husband. I thought they were great. And outside of politics, they've always been really nice. But man, what a snaky person, man. She's bad. But I knew going into it she was snaky. It's much worse when you don't know that somebody's snaky and then they are snaky. But I will say that this Defend the Guard legislation is super important. And that's something that you guys have been working on in Texas, right?
Yeah, we had a champion for it last legislative cycle. There was only one Republican that was pushing it forward. Unfortunately, he decided to sleep with one of his aides and got removed from Congress. And when we looked for somebody else to do it, nobody else in the process of trying to form a coalition with Defend the Guard group, Bring the Troops Home. I've been working on it for 2 months now, since before September, our last quarterly meeting, just trying to make an official an arrangement of some sort where we can work together and still have the state, you know, come and say that the state party is going to help you and other states. You help us in Texas. One of the problems that we currently run through is everything, not everything, but most things within the party right now has to run through the chair, has to run through directors. You know, you get people that are appointed, or they're not elected, but, you know, they're hired on as volunteer staff to do a specific job. Let them do their bloody job. Don't micromanage them. Don't require them to get 3 different levels of sign-offs before they do something. All it does is delay the process and prevent liberty from getting.
I will say this. I've met a lot of politicians over the last, since 2008, 2007, when I worked on Ron Paul's campaign. I met a lot of politicians, like elected politicians, state, local, federal, Congress people, senators, a lot. I famously walked past Obama's handshake. I don't know if you're aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
all purposely. And it was like, I walked out. I was like, I can't believe I just did that. Right. But I did. And I will say that 90% of the people that I've met in that are politicians, that are elected politicians or running for office that weren't libertarians, 90% absolute terrible pieces of shit. Absolutely the worst people I've ever talked to in my life. And a lot of people in the libertarian movement as well. I have met a ton of really shitty people in the Libertarian Party too. Mm-hmm. I've come to the conclusion several times in my life that politics is just made for bad people.
Yeah.
And I hate it. Like
professional liars.
Yeah. And I hate it, man. Like I hate politics so bad because of that, because it's like people are drawn to it. They're just like horrible, horrendous.
Why
people.
Am I drawn to it then?
Well, you're
a horrible person.
No, there's horrible people. And then there's autists, dude. And you're the autist.
Oh, okay. That checks out.
So that's
how do you know? How do you know a politician's lying?
Their lips are moving.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
Same way as a lawyer. And half the politicians are lawyers or doctors. A lot of really bad doctors out there too, dude. But I it's like, it's such a sick, disgusting game. Like, you know, people have been watching this fight with me and Heiss and Mises Caucus recently, and then Dave today going on the show and saying all that stuff. And like, I hate this, dude. Like, people are like, oh, you're only doing this for your ego. I'm like, no, I hate this. Like, I absolutely can't stand this. I'm going to go up to my wife later and cry about this. Like, I hate this shit. I can't. It's so disgusting. I'd much rather be fighting with, like, the Uniparty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that I really dislike, right? But
it's way more fun to fight with people that you fucking hate.
Yeah. It's gross. I hate the way politics makes people act, dude. I really do. I don't like it at all. And people are constantly like, oh, well, it's you. And I'm like, okay, I get it. That's probably some of it's me too, because I am an asshole. I'm an asshole. Yeah. I'm a good person, though. No one's ever going to tell me that I'm not a good person.
You're just not, you don't walk away from a confrontation. Somebody confronts you. You're like, oh, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah, I'm
already, not going to shy away. That's what I think. I think some people see you as abrasive when it's just our whole culture is so fucking soft now.
Yeah,
that everybody runs away from conflict. Yeah. So they see somebody stand up to conflict and they're like,
I can't believe you said that.
Oh my God.
I can't believe you told someone to shut the fuck up. I'm like, dude, if you knew
you stuff for yourself,
if you knew where I was from, shut the fuck up is the moderate position where I'm from. You know what I mean? Legitimately. I don't know. But are you guys, so with the Defend the Guard legislation, are you guys going to have an opportunity to push it again? Are you going to still looking for people to push it?
So next thing that's going to come up would be 2023 right now. So 2025 is the next time it'll come up. Hopefully we can get champion between now and then, find someone who's going to be really into that and, you know, throw our support behind them. I don't care if they're Republican. I don't care if they're Democrat. I don't care if they're independent. Just who's going to uphold that legislation and who's going to try and push it through.
I wish more people would hop on Defend the Guard. And, you know, we've had some shows to talk about Defend the Guard. Of course, I've had Bolden, Horton, and Diego, who's amazing. Mm-hmm. One of the best. I love that guy to death. We need to get him back on to talk about this. But it's got to be important for libertarians, have got to talk about it. I recently was accused of not doing anything for Defend the Guard, and I thought that was kind of funny, because I've had like all the major players of Defend the Guard on the show and talked about it and pushed it and promoted it and phone banked for it. And I'm like, where, how, what? But okay, whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, we need more people doing those things. Well,
you were also, I saw there's a person out there just straight up making shit up about you at this point.
Oh no, what is the new, what's the new ones?
There is a Smith Oliver coalition.
Oh yes, starting. The Smith Oliver coalition.
I sent that over to somebody that's more on the Oliver side, just being like, are you looking at this shit?
I forgot that there's now there is a new conspiracy theory that there's a Smith Oliver
coalition
that wear t-shirts would be so fucking great.
Those would be hilarious t-shirts. You guys
just clasping hands over your heads. There's like doves and rainbows
and rainbows just, and hearts. Oh, and
them,
shit.
That them going great. In for a kiss, just like a.
Dude, I'm gonna have to get my art guy on a shirt for that. To see if people will buy that shirt. The Smith Oliver Coalition. Guy goes around calling me a Nazi for like the last 2 years, and people think I'm coalitioning with him. I'm just worried that he's gonna organize delegates better than anybody else going to the convention. That's my biggest concern. And you know, he's been around, and the people that support him are the people that have been around the party for a long time.
Bless his heart.
So it's a little nerve wracking to me, but it's hilarious that people think. What do you think? You think I got a, Nathan, how are you? You think that I got a coalition with Chase Oliver? Does it sound like we'd be good partners? I didn't mean partners like that. I meant like.
I mean, what you and Chase decide to do as far as your partnership goes is between the two of you.
That's a libertarian. That's a libertarian position, dude. I like it.
None of my business.
It was so funny because I was talking about Rechtenwald when I was still going at Rechtenwald, and he was going at me too. And I said, what are you guys talking about? The guy can't even beat a twink in a cowboy hat. And then like Chase's campaign team got really mad at me. And I'm like, twink is not a slur in the gay community. First of all, it just means you're a young looking, skinny gay person.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a compliment.
Yeah. And so we were at the New Jersey debate. It was me and Heist, or me and Chase and Rechtenwald. And I asked Chase straight up. I was like, "Hey, were you offended when I called you a twink in a cowboy hat?" He's like, "No, it was kind of cool." He's like, "I don't know that I'm a twink, but I'm like, no, dude, you look like you're 21 years old, man, and you're small, and you're gay, and you wear cowboy boots to Denver. So I know, and a big old belt. So I know you're feeling yourself, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a slur. It's not a slur in the gay community. Twink is not a slur.
No, twink is a really common like." Term, especially like online.
I don't
it's a slur get it. It's a slur if you're a liberal on the outside.
Even the leftists that I'm friends with don't consider it a slur. They use it all the time.
Yeah, they call each other twinks. They call it's funny because they're like the black community. They call each other the F word all the time.
Yes,
but if you say it, you're in trouble, dude.
Yep,
it's the same thing. It's why, you know, whatever, it's cool, man. I won't say it. I never use that word anyways. I only started using retard after they took it out of the DSM. Once it couldn't actually classify anybody anymore, I was like, ah, that's cool. It's cool. We're taking it back.
Yeah, no one's ever going to take the R word from.
No, we're taking it back. It's over. They took it out of the book. I can say it all I want now. It doesn't talk about anybody at all. So, what about you? How are you? How do you feel about the woke thought police, Nathan? Where do you stand on the woke mind virus, sir?
I hate it. it takes up way too much time. I mean, I'm an anarcho-capitalist. So once you take the government out of all the shit that's going on, and you just let people do what they want, just don't infringe on each other's rights, then it just kind of fixes itself.
Yeah, I agree. We got to stop giving credence to it. We need to mock it, and I think people don't understand.
Ignore it. If you mock it, if you pay attention to it, all it's going to do is it's going to give people that are getting off on it the incentive to continue doing it. If you ignore it enough, then they'll just say, well, this isn't doing anything, so I'll stop.
But this is where I disagree on the culture war stuff. This is where I separate from other libertarians very hard on this, because I believe that if we, as my 40-year-old generation, make it enough of a clown show to the younger generation, that the younger generation will keep it going. Like, they'll keep the clown, like, calling it a clown show, and they'll mock people out of doing it. And that's what we used to do when we were a proper society.
Yes.
We mocked you into submission. Right?
Listen, when people say they get bullied in schools now, I go, what for?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Because bullies, you know, when I was a kid, the bullies were bullying. They were thinning the weak ones out of the herd.
Yeah.
The person that's dressed like a fucking idiot. Like, they're going to make fun of you because they're pointing out the obvious.
Right.
They're the ones that can point out the obvious. But nowadays, it's the online bullying, the bullying for your pronouns, your bullying for your... So when somebody says they get bullied, I go, what for? Did you deserve it? Sometimes they do.
Yeah, some people need to
bring back bullying.
Some people need to be shoved into the virtual.
Some
locker,
people dude. Need I'm to be gonna, bullied. I'm gonna be honest not, with you. Not physically assaulted, not in a hospital, but bullied, pressed, challenged.
Yeah. That's the thing is
pressed.
Hey, what the fuck are you wearing?
Are very different than bullied.
No. What? No.
Pressed and challenged are very different than
bullied. No. In today's society, everything is.
I've been pressed, I've been challenged, I've been bullied. They're very different things. One has left lasting emotional damage to me. The others have.
What did you get bullied for?
Yeah. What for?
I see. Being an energetic person and nice.
Okay.
And people thought I was gay because of it.
Right. Were you being, Ryan, annoying?
You just pissed him off so bad. Were you being annoying?
Were you being annoying?
I don't think so. I don't
Most
know.
Most people when they're being annoying don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we just hit a nerve there.
I think we hit a nerve.
Someone says they're getting myself. Bullied. Ask them why.
Ask them why.
Well, and here's something that, you know,
what were you doing?
Here's something that libertarians fight on all the time is, do words are words of violation in the NAP? Are you allowed to call someone bad names? Okay. Yes. Yeah, you can call someone bad names. You know what the retaliation is? Freedom Association. Stop associating with them.
Yep. Agreed.
Plain and simple. I'm going to walk away now.
Exactly. But you got libertarians that are like, no, I have to enforce policies to prevent you from saying those hurtful things.
No.
Yeah. I would have disassociated if I could, but I had to go to fucking school with these people. And I would walk up every single day and I would get asked four times, hey, are you gay? And get called a faggot.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how my morning started.
Did they physically contact you during this bullying?
No, not really. It would have been easier to deal with if I was physically contacted with.
That's
in my opinion.
I strongly disagree.
Because then it would have been easier to do something about it.
Yeah.
That's what that happens to Adric, my 12-year-old. Sometimes he gets bullied because they think he's gay. And then it turns out the kid that was bullying him because he thought Adric was gay is gay.
Is gay.
Yeah. And so I sat Adric down because there are bullies that are doing it because they're sad with themselves.
Yeah.
That's a true thing that really
happens. Oh, yeah.
And so I sat him down. I said, look, sometimes when people are assholes to you, because they're going through their own thing. And I have had this problem with my, so these are my two adopted kids, my adopted daughter too, with the kids at school calling her adopted. You know, you're adopted, right? And I hate that, dude. Like that breaks my heart. Yeah. She's such a sweet girl. And we got her when she was so young that she doesn't understand problems with her mother.
Yeah.
My older son, like he understood them. He understands why he's with us. She didn't get it, right? And so it was like a lot harder with her, and they're calling her adopted and screaming at her and stuff. And then come to find out the one girl that was like the head of doing this stuff was getting like abused at home really bad and got like taken out of her home. And so like I sat down with her and was like, look, sometimes when people are being, because they're going, and you know, they're both very religious now, pray for them, say some kind words, try to be as kind as you can. Let them know that it doesn't bother you that you're adopted, because we're way past that now, right? Like, yeah. And I said, I know it still hurts sometimes, but just, you know, just act like it doesn't, it's water off your back, and they'll probably stop doing it. Probably. Maybe not, but probably.
Every single male bully that I've had, I'm very, very limited. I don't want to put it out that I was bullied for years at school. Very limited instances, but the three or four times that it happened, it was abused kids. They were abused by their father.
Yeah, and that happens. But there's also some kids that do need to be bullied.
Yes.
In fact, it's a lot of the people that are bullies need to be bullied.
Yeah, zero tolerance, when they had zero tolerance on bullying, that was the wrong move. That was the wrong move altogether. It was, they needed to pay more attention to the kids doing it and get involved, but that's hard work.
Right.
So it's easier to just say, zero tolerance, we catch you doing this. The person that started the fight and the person that fought back, you're both expelled.
Sure.
You're both, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's a dumb policy.
Yeah, I just, go ahead, Nathan. It's up to you, buddy. Let's go.
I was going to say, you know, that's where school choice comes into play. That's where homeschooling comes into play. You know, Texas doesn't have school choice right now. Like, you can take your kids out of school, but you're still responsible for funding the government schools and funding your child. But we've got a special legislative session right now to see about passing school choice here. And
it needs to include the dollars following the children and not.
Yeah, the educational savings account or whatever. But I'm not seeing any messaging. Libertarians should be, I mean, you've got some purists that are like, oh, if it's not end all education funding together, then I don't want it. But you got to take baby steps. You take stepping stones. Where's our messaging for that? We should be going hard on school choice as libertarians.
Always. Well, I'll say this. Look, we live in like, Iowa's like one of the best school choice states in the whole country. Mm-hmm. We are like literally on the freedom index for schools, like at the very, very top. And, but when we adopted our two kids, part of that guardianship was that they had to be in a public school. So even though that's the state law in Iowa, in Arkansas, where we got our kids, they required that as part of our terms.
Government indoctrination camps.
Well, here's the thing, because we have such a free state with schools, we have community choice charter schools. And they're still considered government schools, right? Public school, but with the community choice charter school, the community actually has like most of the say in the curriculum and all this stuff. And there's a lot of like in-depth stuff that you can do with the teachers and administrators. But we got them both into a really good community choice charter school. And if we had had like a state that was totally all about just like purist shit, we wouldn't have had that opportunity. We would have had to put them in a public school.
True.
So like, I get the argument on both sides of that. I would personally want to just end the Department of Education entirely altogether, community fund the school, all that stuff. Yes, I get that. I certainly wouldn't want a state telling me what I have to do as far as education for even adopted kids, right? And that's because the federal government has statutes in place around the country, right? But yeah, it was, you know, because we are the best school choice state, but there is still this kind of contingent that funds schools. We had the opportunity to put them in a community choice charter school. So I get the argument on both sides, but I'm also in my heart a purist on all of these. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an anarcho-capitalist too, and I want everything abolished, right? That's where I'm at. That's literally where I've been at since the day I opened for A New Liberty by Murray Rothbard, right? And it took me 6 weeks from being a Lulbert minarchist to being an anarcho-capitalist. I don't talk about the anarcho-capitalism in my campaign because, as we know, it can be a real turnoff to some normies, right?
I did that. So I ran for city council for 3 years in a row. The first year I went heavy anarcho-capitalist and got 3%.
Yeah.
And that was not a conversation that most people...
Nobody cares.
Well, it's not that they don't care. They're not ready to have that conversation. They can't wrap their brain around, well, what happens when you remove public police officers?
Right.
What happens when you remove the city from being in charge of roads? Well, how do we fund this? Welcome to free markets, free market society. They're not ready for that. So baby steps.
Yeah. I had said this on my debate, Keith Knight and Michael Rexenwald, when we did our debate. It wasn't really a debate, more like a town hall question and answer
forum.
Without the questions from the audience, right? And I said that when we were talking about Ukraine, and Dave tried to call me on this today in his episode with Dan Smoth, Dave Smith did, where, you know, Rechtenwald talked about the history of Ukraine and all this stuff, and I was like, look, the majority of the electorate does not care about the history at all. They don't even, when you start droning on about the history, they tune out. They don't care. It's all about the populist message of today, right? And I said, yes, we signed a trilateral agreement in the 90s. Bill Clinton did with Russia, and I know the history. It's not like I don't know the history, but people don't care. They want to hear the solution. What's the solution, right?
Yep.
And the solution is, it doesn't matter that we signed the trilateral agreement. The American people didn't sign that. It's our money that's funding it, and we want it ended, right? And so that's the way that people need to move when they talk about a lot of these issues. Like, nobody wants to like be lectured on the great, the great dangers of central planning as told by Murray Rothbard, dude. Like, I love Murray. Like, Murray's my hero, my absolute hero. I've read every single essay and paper that he's ever put out and every book that he's ever put out. Okay. So I know how to explain all this stuff, but nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear the solution to the problem that they're having. And that's, you know, the majority of people in the United States are blue collar, working class, middle class people that have never picked up a political philosophy book, dude. They don't know history. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't. They don't care. You know, and that's, I think that's, as libertarians, one of our biggest downfalls is we want to go out and lecture on the dangers of central planning. We get so intricate and autistic about the Federal Reserve when all we really have to say is, hey, it's a giant counterfeiting machine that's stealing your wealth through a tax called inflation. That's it. That's all that needs to be said.
Yep.
And this is how they prop up the warfare state. That's it. We don't have to get into all the intricacies of, oh, well, the charter was signed in 1913 and this and that. Like, nobody cares. They don't care.
I would assume that most people, when they get their paycheck, they're not looking at the line items. They're just looking, how much money went into my bank account?
And how much came out.
Exactly. But when they go and pay their rent, when they go and pay their mortgage, and they see every year that keeps going up, that's where they need to be paying attention. That's not the federal government making those changes. That's your local government.
Yeah, Michael Winter said that Javier Milei says that he's an anarcho-capitalist and it seems to be working. And I will say yes. But you got to also understand that these people in Argentina were taking like duffel bags full of money to go buy a loaf of bread, dude. I mean, it was so bad there. Like so. We're not there yet. We're just not there yet.
It's so bad that going on the U.S. dollar.
Good. We'll take it. You know what I mean? Salvador literally made Bitcoin legal tender.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause it was that bad, you know, and there's only two ways this ends. Either we fix it now or it gets that bad.
Yep.
And it's coming. And I think there'll be a time for that. And I think that mass adoption of Bitcoin is absolutely going to happen. Absolutely going to happen. It's a laid framework that circumvents the federal government monetarily. It's great. Why wouldn't you be touching it? At least, you know what I mean? At least dabbling. Start dabbling, figure out how to use it, right? Mm-hmm.
But like moon wallet, people, moon wallet.
There are ways to keep it from the federal government too.
It is a free app on your phone, easy to set up.
I will say the argument that Tim Pool and Angela had about Bitcoin last night, I was like screaming at the screen because he's like, well, the federal government has, you know, owns the most Bitcoin and this and that. And I'm like, no, that's not the truth. That's not the truth at all. And they don't get to track who buys it all the time unless you're buying it from these big exchanges, right?
Right.
Like, you can definitely get Bitcoin person to person, peer to peer, without the government ever knowing about it. Is it on a ledger? Yes, it's on a ledger, but it doesn't say your address and your name and shit. It's just a number.
Right.
It's just a ledger number, dude. And so, like, I was screaming at the screen, like, say it. You know, it's untraceable. It is. It's, unless you're using these big exchanges.
I think the feds, what you said about that, where it's not anonymous, But they can't connect you to this random, this anonymized number. But the feds want
to
do that.
That's what they would to do. Yeah.
They want
to
do that before we all find out about it, before it's mass adopted.
Of course.
Yeah. They definitely want to get control of it.
Of course, because they want a CBDC is what they want. And to have a workable CBDC in the United States or worldwide,
they're going to have to kill. Wet dream.
They got to kill Bitcoin. Either kill Bitcoin or make Bitcoin the CBDC.
Yep. Okay, here's the thing. With Republican normies, a worldwide CBDC would go over so poorly because that's like one of the signs in the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, it's the Mark of the Beast shit.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those people would start to wake up quick.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff going on in Israel, Palestine, and the Middle East is like played right out of the book. And so there's people cheering this on because of that. And I'm like, I don't think we're there yet.
There's a guy at my workplace. I walk by him every day, several times a day, and he's a pastor, and I've watched him slowly just wig out since the Israel thing popped off. And even before that, he's like, "This is a sign. It's a red. You know what? It was a red oxen that they killed." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "He's plugged into all this shit." Oh, yeah. And then after Israel popped off, he's like, just why does it go, man? He's losing it, dude.
And then look, I believe it. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible, and there's a possibility that maybe this is, and maybe this is the last great revival of Christ.
Revelations, dude. Man.
Possible. It's possible that we're in the last great revival of Christ. I'm not denying that. Possible. I don't think we're there yet.
Are you guys familiar with who Chris Chan is?
Yes, of course. The reason my kids can't watch Sonic the Hedgehog, dude.
Wait, what now? Do you not know who Christian Weston Chandler is?
No, I don't know who that is.
Okay, he might be the most documented person in history, severely autistic, and got notorious for drawing an original character called Sonichu. And there's been a whole saga. There's like, I think, a 40-hour docuseries on him. Wild, but
he's slept with his mom.
Yeah,
sorry?
He
slept with his mom.
Yeah,
he's
literally a motherfucker. Yeah.
And someone asked him about the Israel-Palestine conflict.
I gotta hear this.
His response was, "Demons and devils are literally at work on both sides there." And I said, "Did not have Chris Chan having a better take on Israel than Jordan Peterson on my 2023."
Dude, no shit! Wow, that is a good take from the motherfucker.
Yeah,
it is. What else he did say? He went to jail. What did he go to jail for? Was he kill somebody or something?
Jail, but I know he got arrested for being accused of sexual abuse of his mother.
Yeah, something bad.
Okay,
yeah, it was really bad. Like, he's a piece of shit for sure. He's a bad human. Nathan, can we get your take? Not on Chris Chan. I won't make you do that.
Okay, I don't know him.
Your take on the Israel-Palestine conflict?
It's none of our business.
That's the moderate position for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that should be the libertarian position. It's none of our business. I'm Jewish, but even then, I'm like, there's no good guy in this conflict. Everyone's bad guy in their own way. All I know is at the end of the day is we need to not be funding either side. We need to stay out of it. Don't put our boots on the ground. Don't put drones in the air. We have too much to worry about here at home before we ever decide to start poking our nose somewhere else.
Sure. I have come to learn two things on Twitter. One, if you are not for the entire genocide of Palestine, you're a Jew hater. And on the reverse side of that, if you are not supportive of Hamas destroying and killing innocent Jews in Israel, you are automatically a anti-Palestine person or anti-Gaza person, or you believe that the Gazans should be genocide.
Did you see Alex Stein's latest video?
No, but I love that guy. I'm gonna have to check it out for sure.
He was in my county recently.
Yeah, he's a Texan.
He's in Dallas actually. And he went to the Plano City Council with a Gays for Palestine mantra. and he came up with a Gays for Palestine song that he sang in front of the whole council.
Oh, it was amazing. Alex is supposed to come on the show. We're supposed to have him on the show. We should fly him out and have him in the studio.
He's actually Censored is doing the End Racism tour,
right?
Comedy tour. They're actually in Dallas this weekend.
Yeah, he's gonna be. It's gonna be him.
Alan Stein's gonna be there.
It's Stein and Gavin McInnes.
Yeah,
and who else?
Gavin. Kumia's still in the hospital.
Oh, Kumia. Yeah.
Ryan.
Isn't Josh Denny a part of that?
Yeah,
Josh Denny's on there. Josh Denny's been on the show like two or three times. Were you ever on the show with Josh Denny?
I believe I was because I follow Josh Denny on Twitter.
Denny's hilarious, dude. He's come on my show a few times. He's got like the worst, most vicious gang of like online trolls that follow him around shows, and they will pay for super chats to get you to ask him questions on shows. And Denny said, listen, every single super chat that comes across, ask it before the show. He said, just ask it. They'll do it all night. And it was probably one of the most monetized shows I've ever had. And he's like, these are all easy questions. They're all asking about being an Uber driver and shit. And it was hilarious. Infinite Zeal, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. Great show, he says. Yeah, it's a good show. Nathan's cool, man. I like you. Nathan, I like you.
Thanks.
I think I'd be happy to give you an endorsement for chair of the national party or the state party, man, for sure.
I'm running for national chair now.
No,
apparently.
Don't do that. Please save yourself the drama. Don't do that. Listen, as somebody who's run twice and sacrificed everything to try and take over a non-paying national position several times, don't ever do that. Don't do that to yourself. Let somebody like Stephen Nikala or something do that. It's going to be a mess, but I think that you'll make a great chair of Texas, man. I really do. I'm very excited for you. It is a seriously Herculean. That's that
Herculean?
Word up. Herculean. Task. I said it right that time.
Large task.
Yeah, it's a large task. And you're gonna have your work cut out for you, my man. So I hope you're up for the program. And I definitely agree with you on the local offices. They're so important, and the most successful libertarian states we've seen have attacked those offices first. So I know that's a ace in the whole plan. I imagine in Texas it'll make a huge deal, because here's the deal. Like places like Texas and Wyoming have local races where nobody runs but one person constantly.
Yeah.
Or nobody signs up to run at all. Which you can, and that happened in Florida, a bunch of these water and soil commission positions. People just signed up and got the position because nobody was running. And so like I know you have that opportunity in Texas, and you guys should be running a candidate in every single race that you think you can win. Until you have all the local municipalities for sure.
Yeah, the first time I ran for city council, there was 5 or 6 people in each place that was running, and we were all at large. The second time, you had 2, and then the third time, there was 2 as well. But school board, there was 1 person running for re-election that had been on the school board for 8+ years.
Yeah.
It's like, and then the other place had 4 people running against each other. It's like, what is this?
Gotta go take those points, man. You can take those spots, I promise you. I always got some stuff like that, too, that we can do.
I can only run for so many places or so many positions at once.
for sure. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on, dude. Why don't you let everybody know where they can find you, support you, help you out, all those good things.
Sure. So you can follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, Nate the ANCAP. You can also head out to my website, nathanforliberty.com. You'll see what the rest of my platform is. You'll see what I'm looking to do for the party. Also help donate to get me out to these different counties. You know, that's one of the things I plan on doing between now and our convention in April, is to go and visit as many counties as I can, get in front of as many people as I can. And Texas is a big fucking state, so there's a lot of travel that needs to take place there.
Oh, I know that, man. I'm going to Maine, Bangor, Maine, on November 17th for a debate, and then I'll be in South Carolina on November 11th. And I will have hit all 50 states over the last 5 or 6 years for campaigns, man. It's been wild. Mm-hmm. So those were the last 2 states I hadn't been
to
yet.
You're a do-nothing.
I am a do-nothing grifter, yeah. That's what they say, I guess. I don't know, dude. I mean, I'd say there's probably a lot of candidates and committees and all kinds of stuff that would say it otherwise. But hey, you know, whatever. That's cool, man. I'll survive. Nathan, I appreciate you, man. I'm a big fan. You definitely have you have the endorsement of Break the Cycle. I think all 3 of us could
absolutely
say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
We look forward to seeing what you do out there in Texas. I'll be following closely. And if you ever need any help or support, you just feel free to reach out. Let me know, man.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Too.
All right, guys. Go help Polsky out.
I just followed him, man.
Did you follow him? Yeah, follow him on Twitter for sure.
We need more common sense.
The bigger, like, the bigger the chairs platform, the better. I recently come under fire as well for just being about my own personal platform, which is hilarious to me because what do you think somebody running for president shouldn't have a big personal platform? I don't get it. I don't understand why you would be upset about that. I
mean, you should have 20 Twitter followers and no more.
Yeah, if you're going to run for president, please do not go over 20 Twitter followers. Do not, certainly do not put out content in media.
I got an ad on Twitter the other day for someone running for the Libertarian candidate who had less than a third of the followers that I do on Twitter.
Yeah, dude. Wow. And you only have like 300 and something followers.
I have 320 followers. This guy had like a flat 100.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're paying for ads? You have 100 followers. What are you doing, dude?
Well, that's how Lars got all his followers, was paying for thousands of dollars in ads, because he didn't have any followers on Twitter, and then all of a sudden he had like 1,000. I realized like every like thread that I scrolled through had a Lars for president ad. I was all, okay, that makes sense. I see why you're so grown. But some of these ads that he puts out, like, I don't want to talk bad about Lars. I don't know enough about him, but I will say that like some of these ads that I see will have like 700,000 impressions and like 32 likes. And I'm like, this is not a good post to pay for, man. Stop it. You're wasting your money. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you got to come with something hard if you're going to put money behind it. We didn't even put money behind the videos that Smots made. You know what I mean? Yeah. We may at some point, but we didn't even put those guys.
It's just like, organic.
Yeah, those had thousands and thousands of likes and 300,000 impressions or something. But it was all organic. We just posted them and then never promoted them. I haven't put a single dollar into advertising.
That's the best way to do it.
One. So, and we probably will. I mean, you know, especially in the next several months, we probably will, but
we got to get you on Reddit, dude.
No, I can't. I'm not allowed to build my platform anymore. Can't be.
Dude, it was weird.
I can't build my personal platform.
There's a Libertarian Reddit.
It's all about ego for me, remember?
Dude, it's hilarious. And they didn't know who you were. They were talking about Rechtenwald, and I made a comment about, I just dropped your name, and I go, and they go, who's Joshua Smith?
Yeah.
And I was like.
Yeah, see? I actively stopped building my platform so that people would stop calling me a do-nothing egotistical grifter or whatever it is that you're calling me.
Libertarian subreddit is,
dude, it's garbage.
Oh my god, it's,
they're all leftists.
Reddit has gotten,
I was kicked off within a week
by the, oh yeah,
my original,
I've been on it for years. It's devolved. It's gotten worse.
I got kicked off a long time ago just for coming in and it dropped a poll for me and like Nick Sarwark or something, and immediately was gone. Immediately.
Yeah. It, like,
there's some weird mods.
Most of Reddit at this point has devolved. Like, almost all the subs that I was a fan of, like r/shitpost is like one of the only good ones left.
Yeah,
but well,
mine was a 2A. It was like a 2A comment, and I was something like, it was something totally inane, just like all gun laws are infringement or something like that. And somebody pressed me on, and I was like, yeah, no, it's gone. You mean even like 14-year-olds? I'm like, yeah, it's, there's no, and they're like, you're gone.
Jeez. All right, guys. It's too dangerous. I'm sick. I got to get set up for my my flight to Florida in less than 12 hours. So I appreciate it. You got anything before we go, Ryan?
Follow me on Twitter at BulldogGamer28. No. Still, I'm growing organically a little bit, which is cool. Yeah, level zero, Reddit is garbage. It's turned into garbage. Like, I've enjoyed it.
It was better.
I used to enjoy it. I don't even really scroll it all that much anymore. Like I said earlier, like, comment, subscribe, share the show on your socials with your friends, whoever dare to listen.
You got anything before we go, AJ?
Just on Twitter, /X, poison tip, poison_tip.
We'll have a really good show for you guys next Thursday. I also have three other shows on Thursday, next Thursday. But my schedule coming up is pretty crazy. I'll be on Eric Parker's show on Monday, and then on Thursday I'll be on Harry Bingman's podcast, Larry Sharp's podcast, and Buds in Reality. Then we'll have our show after that. Four shows that day. Damn. I'll be in Jacksonville this weekend. I'm not gonna remember the name. It's a bar and grill. Cool Blue or Cool Thunder or something. I'm not going to remember the name of it, but if you look up Duval County Libertarians on Twitter, it'll show you the flyer. A bunch of the candidates will be there on Saturday to give talks and stuff like that. And so I'll be there tomorrow. If anybody's in the Jacksonville area and wants to hang out tomorrow night, hit me up on Twitter when we'll get a meetup going or something like that. And then, of course, the following week, I will be on Timcast again on Thursday. Cool. I won't be able to do the show that Thursday, November 2nd. Okay. I will be at in West Virginia, out in the middle of nowhere, doing the Timcast.
It'll probably line up pretty well with a significant life event of mine.
Oh yeah, you might have a baby while I'm there.
Yeah, and literally any day now.
Yeah.
Ooh. So,
and then that weekend I'll be on Eric Matheny's Eric and Bob and Eric Save America, which is a great, amazing show. If you guys don't,
I've heard of it.
And then the following weekend after that, I'm flying to Syracuse, New York for an event, and then I'm leaving there that Saturday morning to fly into South Carolina for the big debate that we had to qualify for in South Carolina. But we have a bunch of other stuff coming up too. I'll be on November 17th. I'll be in Bangor, Maine for a debate, and just a bunch of other places. So if you guys support the campaign, please go to joshuasmith2024.com to support our campaign financially. We have a lot of traveling to do and stuff like that. And we've already been doing a ton of traveling as well. We can't go up against financial juggernauts without your help. We can't win the LP primary and get on the ballot without your help. So we need delegates. And we need funds. Those are two very important things. And of course, if you want to volunteer with the campaign, you can on their website as well. Guys, I love you to death. Thank you for sitting through my very, very sick show. I do not feel good. I will see you next Thursday. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just spent it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just spent it in Minecraft. What chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just mandated a Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. No product theaters, 'cause it closed for COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm a poet.